Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Today, for BDA Baby, we are going to be talking to Mark Brackett. He is the head of the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence, and he is a big practicer and advocate for social emotional learning, which we've talked a lot here about, and also the author of an incredible book called Permission to Feel. He also has created an amazing app for our social emotional learning and intelligence that I recently downloaded and is amazing. Just to touch on why we're doing this, there's so much heaviness going on, weight going on, and I wanted to enlist the help and guidance of Dr. Mark Brackett to talk to us just about being parents in this time and also just being people in this time and how to manage everything that's going on, especially if you're wanting to be mindful of your children and their social emotional well-being. And I feel like there are so many parents in this community that have been on this BDA baby journey for a very long time and that have become parents over the past couple of years or know children in their lives and want to be mindful of how to talk about certain things, how to check in with children, and also how to check in with yourself. So we are going to talk about that with Dr. Mark Brackett and hopefully put information out that people find to be helpful in navigating a very challenging time, and we'll get right to it. So talk about emotional intelligence and also being a parent and your own social emotional well-being as well. Here we are. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. That's the right question. How are you feeling?
How are you feeling? I know I've checked in with my app twice a day,
great.
It's always asking me how I'm feeling. So I love everything that you do. We talked yesterday, and I think it's obviously important in general, and especially important right now in this time where everybody is asking each other how you're feeling and also wanting to be mindful of your own feelings and children's feelings.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of enlist your help and guidance to put information out there for parents or people who are struggling right now with the feeling component of life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We have lots of feelings.
Lots of feelings. And before I start, let's just talk a little bit about everything that you do and all of the incredible work with social emotional learning that you are putting out there and just the importance of that.
Well, as you know, my day job is I'm a professor at Yale, and I am the proud founder and director of the Center for Emotional Intelligence. And we're a team of about 35 people who do research on emotions. So why do we feel the way we feel? How do we measure our emotional life? And then a large part of our work is in teaching these skills. So we have an approach to social and emotional learning called RULER, which is an acronym for the skills of emotional intelligence: recognizing, understanding, labeling, expressing, and regulating emotion. And pretty miraculously, we are in 5,000 schools across the United States and other countries and growing rapidly. So, you know, we're excited to create an emotion revolution.
I love that. I think it's something that, especially since becoming a parent, I'm extra aware of and mindful of, just being able to talk about my feelings, checking in with myself, and also being able to connect with kids of all ages. Mm-hmm. My kids are, you know, on the younger side right now, but just being mindful of that. And I think especially with everything that's going on. I feel like parents are searching for ways to check in with their own emotions and also be there for their children's emotions. And you and I talked about that yesterday, about, you know, how to raise an emotionally intelligent child. Mm-hmm. And that that first starts with, as parents, checking in with our own emotional intelligence. Right. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, we do a lot of work with families. And it's funny because in terms of like getting parents to show up for workshops on emotional intelligence, if we say how to become an emotionally intelligent parent, you know, people show up. But if we say, how do you raise a happy, healthy, and emotionally intelligent child? All of a sudden, like the doors, you know, right. You can't get through the doors. And I think it's because, you know, we fail to recognize that none of us had an emotion education, right? There was no social and emotional learning when I was growing up.
Right.
And so it's like a domain of like, it's a concept that we just are not familiar with. And so what I've learned in my career is that if we can educate the adults first, we get great outcomes. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say we the adults who are raising and teaching kids have to be the best possible role models for them. Because think about it, your kids are watching you, your kids are listening to you, and, you know, they're learning these skills implicitly. You know, if you're yelling at your husband or if you're, you know, having a breakdown while you're making dinner, you know, they feel it. And so, you know, helping parents really understand the power they have in developing their children's emotional intelligence is really important.
And that can really start at any age. I think that, like, you know, obviously when you are first starting a family, you want that to be something that, of course, is like a great time for parents to be entering into that. But for parents who might have older children, or who might never have heard of this until now, there's always the opportunity to start and to open up that conversation and that subject in your family and in your household, right?
It literally, you know, this starts in the womb for moms and dads. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important to think that way because, you know, your nervous system is co-regulating, you know, your child's nervous system. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens from birth. You know, the way we soothe our children, the way we talk to our children, our vocal tone, the way we cuddle them and hold them. And so, yes, this starts as early as you can imagine. And, you know, you're co-parent, you're co-regulating your kids' emotions when, like, I'm sure your mom is really good at co-regulating your feelings. I know your mom.
She is very good at that. I think that, you know, she obviously... I grew up with her talking very openly to me and my siblings and just in our household, even to all of our friends that would come over in high school. She was constantly checking in with them, talking about these things. So for me, it was, you know, something that was really important. And the big thing that I wanted to talk also about is just the co-regulation, because I feel like that's something that we talk about. And maybe if you grew up in a household where you talked about feelings openly, that you know about that or you're familiar, but can you just explain the importance of co-regulation, especially as parents? Because I think what we were talking about yesterday is like your instinct, of course, when your child's crying or your child's upset is like, I need to hurry up and fix it and make them not sad and, you know, make them not have these feelings. And then you don't really check in with yourself because you might be bringing in a frantic energy or some sort of feeling. So just the co-regulation part of it, I think, as parents is such an interesting part of it that you were explaining to me yesterday. I feel like people would benefit from.
Yeah, I think, you know, so it starts with the basics of, you know, you're soothing your child right when they're crying. I mean, this is what you're trying to figure out. Like if you're holding your baby and they're having, you know, they're crying or they're having discomfort, you know, you're saying those kind little words to them, you know, you're playing with them, you're kind of showing your face. And then it kind of turns into, you know, where you're engaging, you're sort of teaching them specific strategies. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're letting them know it's okay to be not okay, right? Right? You're letting them know that, you know, honey, it's okay that you're feeling nervous. A lot of people feel nervous when they go to school. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay that you're sad. When our dogs are sick, it makes sense that they're sad. Mm-hmm. And so you're just kind of giving them the permission to feel, as I call it, because, you know, so much of what you ever notice with parents and other people in terms of the co-regulation thing, it's a lot of times it's like, pay attention. If I have to tell you one more time, that's also co-regulation.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know, but it's activating and it's kind of like basically trying to tell the kid how they should feel or, you know, what they should be doing with their feelings, as opposed to, right, the way we think about it is that parents are the co-scientists, the co-explorers with their kids. So the goal is not to tell your kid how to regulate. Mm-hmm. The goal is to help your child discover for themselves what strategies work best for them. Because remember, like, we all have different personalities.
Yeah.
You know, I'm introverted. So like the things that are very highly stimulating actually are not great for me. Where for other people, they like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so we can learn that early on.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
When you're saying that you want to help your child and really give your child the tools to help them, you know, soothe, how does that work? And how do you start with that as a parent?
So let's say, right, like your kid just ran into the room, you know,
like that.
And like, and you're a little frenetic, you know, like, or he's, or she's a little frenetic. And you just say, you know, honey, give me your hands. And we just hold each other's hands and we say, let's take some deep breaths together. Let's just breathe in and out. One more time. In and out. And let's go deeper and slower. And then all of a sudden you can feel both of your, like, because you're co-regulating kind of each other, right? Because you need to deactivate to be the best parent. You want the child to deactivate because they're driving you out of your mind for that moment. And then how do you, and then you're kind of coming into this place of homeostasis.
Yes.
Or it'd be, you know what? You know, why don't we cook together right now? Or why don't we go read a book together? Or let's go take a little walk. Mm-hmm. Let's go outside and just look at the sun, look at the cloud, look at the water, look at the grass. So you're just intentionally just doing things, right, to support your child in learning what works best for them, in this instance, to kind of bring that energy down or deactivate.
When we were talking yesterday, you were talking about one of the big parts of this is doing the exercise that you and I talked about kind of putting yourself and getting in a mindset of setting yourself up for being the best version of you as a parent. Can you walk us through that? Because I thought that was so interesting.
Well, look, maybe we can do it together right now. Sorry to put you on the spot. So if I were to say, Catherine, I want you to take a moment and think about your best self as a parent. Like literally, when you see yourself like at your best, think about the words the adjective that you would use to describe your best self as a mom, what comes to mind for you?
Loving.
Nice.
Empathetic. Compassionate. Fun.
Yeah.
Those are some.
Those are great. So, you know, when your son just walked in, now that we have like a good case study here.
My daughter, yeah. She walked in.
Oh, your daughter, sorry, your daughter. When your daughter ran in, you know, like you get activated, right? You're like, I'm in the middle of an Instagram live. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, hello, you're supposed to know. Mommy's working right now.
Uh-huh.
But obviously she's doesn't. And in that moment, it's kind of like, right, you're like, what do I do to get my kid out of this room to like, you're in survival mode, right? In that moment. And so this aspect of our work with parents and with teachers and everybody, it says, can you in that moment pause, take a deep breath and say, how would the compassionate, loving, empathetic mom respond to this?
Mm-hmm.
And it really works.
Yeah.
Like if you give yourself the permission to pause and recognize like, you know what, whatever, like all of your followers are going to be just fine, right? We overestimate the impact of these things. And, you know, there's a great phrase that I just love that is attributed to Viktor Frankl from that famous book called Man's Search for Meaning. Mm-hmm. And it says, between stimulus and response, there is space. In that space lies our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and freedom. And I think what happens for many of us is that the space between stimulus and reaction, mm-hmm. right, is getting shorter and shorter and shorter with all the things that are happening in the world, with the stress that we're under, you know, just in society. Our stress, you know, our fuse gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And what the meta moment, which is the name of the tool, does is it says, let's prolong that space. When we get activated, let's take that breath. Let's just pause. Make that an automatic thing. Like, don't say it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just pause and breathe.
Right.
And when you do that, can you then activate that best version of yourself? Sometimes it's a phrase. Sometimes for me, it's like this, you know, when I'm really kind of in a difficult place, I'm like, Mark, you're the director of the Center for Emotional Intelligence.
And then, like, together.
How does the director respond as opposed to Mark who's ready to like, you know, lose
it?
And it works because it changes, it changes the areas of your brain that are being utilized in that moment. Mm-hmm. And we want to bring in that area where we can problem solve, which is very hard to do when we're activated.
Yeah. I think that's, I feel like there are so many parents who love that concept and idea of just being able to even take the time when you're not activated, like ahead of time, to sit and do that exercise of like, you know, putting things into perspective of, you know, pulling out your best qualities as like the best parent version of yourself, and then trying to be able to access them when you are in a moment where you're pausing for a reaction.
Well, what you're getting at is something really interesting, which is that, you know, in society in general, you know, think about it. We're very, we wait until bad things happen to then deal with them.
Totally.
We're like we spend, you know, in California where you are, you know, $100,000 or more a year to keep someone in prison. And we spend, you know, $10,000 a year to educate kids, mm-hmm. right? So think about it. We don't think in a prevention way.
Right.
The same thing applies to parenting, to dealing with difficult things in our lives. I'm thinking actually of a mom who, she said to me, Mark, you know, after I learned this technique of taking the meta moment and being my best self, she lived in San Francisco, but had to drive over the Golden Gate Bridge. Mm-hmm. And she said, every night when I'm driving home from work, the Golden Gate Bridge is my symbol for pausing and remembering the mom that I want to be when I enter my home. And I thought, like, that is beautiful.
That
right?
Is.
To take that, like, it's a symbol to remind myself, how do I want to show up for my kid today?
Mm-hmm.
What are the, you know, what is my best version of myself going to look like? No matter what my day was like.
Yeah. And having those reminders, like if it's a symbol of something or you know, especially when we get into the craziness of life where everything is so fast paced and you're going from here to here, having something that can make you stop and remind you to check in with yourself and put yourself in a place where you're setting yourself up for success and the best version of yourself is, it's such a, you know, it sounds like it's so simple and something that like, you know, is of course like obvious, but to be able to have somebody say it and also talk about the importance of it, especially for benefiting your children is so amazing.
The thing about it is that it's obvious, but it's not that easy to implement.
For sure. Yeah.
And it's because when we get triggered and when we get activated, that all that beautiful, like Mark, the director of the Center for Emotional Intelligence, like, who cares, right? I'm going for the jugular.
Yeah, I know, for sure.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
As you were saying yesterday, like it's being able to do that with parenting is huge because it's, you know, benefits you and your children, and also doing it in any relationships. If it's your partner relationship, your friendships, family, professional life, like there's being able to put the best version of yourself or do that exercise is so beneficial for every form of communication, especially if you're about to, we talked about this yesterday, and go into a conversation that you might think is going to be heated or have big feelings, or, you know, with children and with adults, like getting in that mindset is huge.
It really, it changes your chemistry. So for me, I do a lot of public speaking. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you and other people, like some days I'm just not in the mood to do the speech, you know? And I've got 3,000 people in front of me. And before I get on that stage, I'm like, Mark, for your bit. Like, how is the best version of yourself going to show up on that stage? Because they're here to listen. They want to learn from you, right? And so, and it really just, it helps because it just takes you out of that, like, kind of, I'm stuck, I'm irritable, I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed, to like, no, Mark, you can do this. You got this. Go, you know. And so you can do that as a public speaker. You can do that with your partner. You can do that with your kid. You can do it with a colleague. It really, and sometimes, you know, like I joke about this, but so like I like to use humor in my presentations. Mm-hmm. And so my best self is someone who's fun and humorous, but like at home, the humor doesn't always work. You know, it's like, oh, honey, you're in the red tonight again. You know, like, no, we're not going to use humor tonight. We're going to, you know.
Yeah.
So you have like different versions of your best self for different people, right? In different contexts.
I want to also talk about the idea of permission to feel. Right. That's your book. And it's kind of goes back to what we were just talking about when you have a crying child and you know, or a child who's angry or upset. And I think a lot of parents are experiencing that, of course, all the time when you have children, but also especially right now where kids might be picking up on their own parents' anxieties, sadness, stress, heartbreak, and this idea, which I want you to explain in your book, Permission to Feel, of just giving kids and adults permission to feel, which sounds like something... Okay, yeah, you can feel that. But it's actually when you really think about the idea of giving somebody permission to feel and also raising children that way, it's incredible and also such a huge gift. So let's first talk about just permission to feel, and then we can talk about applying it to today.
Yeah. So, you know, without, you know, I wanted to share with you a little bit about my childhood, just so you can see the context of this. You know, I had two parents who loved me, but, you know, my mother had tremendous anxiety. You know, she was always having back then a breakdown. You know, I can't handle it. I'm losing it. And my father was that kind of, now we call it toxically masculine guy, who was always like, son, you got to toughen up. And so when you have a mom who is really kind of anxious and not be able to handle her own emotions, and a father who's like, we don't have emotions, we're just tough guys, you don't have permission to feel as a child, right? Because there's no place to, you know, I can't talk to mommy about my feelings because, gosh, she'll have a breakdown and daddy's just going to tell me to toughen up. Mm-hmm. And that's tough for kids, you know, and that's my story. Everybody has their own story, right? And so permission to feel is really specifically about the idea that we as parents have to create the context to make sure that our kids know that how they feel matters and that all emotions are good emotions. There's no such thing as a bad emotion, which is weird for people. Like anxiety is a good emotion. Yeah, anxiety is information. It's saying that your kid sees uncertainty in their future. Fear is a good thing. It's saying there's danger. They're perceiving danger. I need to support that. Sadness is saying there's a loss. So there's no such thing as a bad emotion. I think that's so, so, so important for people to understand. And then the question is, you know, how do we respond when our kids are having feelings? Is it, you know, for me, it was like, who do you think you are talking to me that way? Get to your room. Like, okay, so now what do I do with my feelings, right? Like, not only am I, you know, being bullied, but now I'm being punished because I don't know how to communicate my feelings. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that's kind of interesting about this is that in a biological sense, emotions are signals, right? When, if I come at you like, I hate you, right? You get defensive, right? You get like, you know, you get like self-defense. It's like, right. What do you mean? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Because we're triggered by that energy coming at us. Mm-hmm. The challenge is with kids, it's always a message saying, I need love. I need support. Mm-hmm. I need a hug. But we don't feel that because we're getting that kind of really kind of tough, uncomfortable energy at us. So as adults, you know, when I'm around people who are really negative and, you know, I'm like, you know what? I can avoid that. I'm going to avoid the people who are bringing me down all the time. I'm going to avoid the people who kind of are disgruntled all the time. But as parents with children, that's not a good model, right? It's always approach.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And I mean, especially as a parent, my daughter who came in is 3 years old, and then I have a 1-year-old, and just the overall awareness of allowing them to feel, I think our, you know, I talked about this with you, but our instinct as parents is like, well, I want to make it better.
Yeah.
But kind of shifting that in your mind to saying like, these feelings are all okay feelings to have. Let me like sit with you and allow you to feel all those feelings, not hurry up and try to make you stop crying. Yeah. Or yesterday you were saying like, let's just give you ice cream or let's just give you a treat and like make you stop crying. Like that's like a, you know, an instinct or a reflex as parents, because you want your kid, you see them crying and you're like, I want you to stop crying.
Yeah.
But really as parents, the best thing that you can do is allow your child to have all these feelings, sit and listen with them, and then also be able to give them the tools to process that and also articulate their feelings.
Well, here's something that might be provocative. Regulating emotions doesn't mean that you're getting rid of the feeling. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
It just means you're learning how to deal with the feeling, how to be with the feeling in a healthier way so that the anxiety is not having power over you, that you can actually experience the anxiety in a way that it's, guess what? I was telling this, I gave a speech yesterday and I said to them, you know, I'm 54 and I've had challenges with anxiety my whole life. And I just have like a different attitude about it. It's like, yeah, so I have anxiety.
Yeah, just like embracing it.
Some days it's a little stronger than others, And, you know, I have lots of tools. I've got my best self to help me out. I've got my breathing exercises to help me out. I've got the fact that, like, some days when you read the newspaper and you see what's happening, it's like, if you're not anxious, you're weird, you know?
Right.
And so I think that's permission to feel. It's like it's just emotions are information.
Yeah. The idea of kind of sitting in like, okay, I have anxiety. Okay. I'm experiencing sadness, or I'm feeling sadness as a parent, sadness, you know, your child's feeling sadness, whatever those feelings are, being able to kind of welcome them, say hello to them, welcome them, and then allow them to, your child to sit with those feelings or experience those feelings and be there as a support person for them as they experience them. I know that we're almost out of time, but I want to just touch on, because one of the reasons that I wanted to enlist your guidance for a variety of reasons, sure, and also with what's going on in the world, there are so many parents I have in my life, and also so many parents just on social media who you see really struggling with trying to be a strong and smiling face for their children, and also really struggling with the weight of everything that's going on in the world, and also concerned as parents for what their children might be feeling, picking up on your feelings as parents, but also going off to school, hearing certain things coming back and feeling sadness or having questions. Are there maybe a few things before we wrap up that you can kind of offer as guidance to parents to help as we navigate a very challenging time for everybody, and especially for parents who are, you know, doing what parents try to do, which is put on a strong and smiling face, which can be really challenging to do?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this depends on the age of your child, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm kind of just thinking about development here. I go back to the first thing is permission to feel. You know, we don't want to tell our kids not to have feelings. We don't want to, you know, like squash their feelings. It's okay that you're feeling this way. A lot of people feel this way. Mommy feels this way. Daddy feels this way, etc. So just think, normalizing emotions is just so comforting, because oftentimes when our kids are, like when I was a kid and feeling a lot of fear, and because I never talked about it, I just thought I was a bad person. I thought there was something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, because in the work we do, when we go around in classrooms and kids all share their feelings, and I interview children, I say, what's different about this lesson? And 9 times out of 10, a child said, I thought I was the only one. You know, and that's like so comforting to recognize that, like, this is a shared experience, right, and really important. The second is, I call it being a scientist versus a judge, is be that curious explorer with your child. Like, listen to the narrative. Like, what is the story they're telling themselves? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that story is made up by other people. Mm-hmm. Truthfully, most of our negative self-concepts, most of our negative self-talk, we're not born with that. I mean, you're not born with an area of your brain that says, be self-critical. Mm-hmm. We listen to it. We hear it from the world around us. And then without kind of having good, positive role models, we start believing it. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage parents to really listen to the self-talk that their child has, to, you know, when they're saying they're feeling a certain way, ask them, you know, why? Tell me more. Let's talk about it. For the parent to be the role model, saying, you know, mommy feels worried too, but here's what mommy's doing. Mommy's getting on her exercise bicycle. Mommy is going to take walks. You know, we're going to have dinner together. And I think showing your children the healthy strategies that you're using to manage your feelings is absolutely critical. And then doing those things together. Let's cook dinner together tonight. Let's take a walk together after dinner. Let's doodle together. Let's watch a show together, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Is really important. And there's just, you know, there's, I think, endless things to think about here in terms of, you know, I think primarily when it comes to chaotic times, what we have to let our children understand is what we do have control over. And you have to do that in a way that they understand that mommy, daddy, we're going to do everything, you know, we can right here, right? Our home is a safe place for all of us. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on that. And And just reminding kids, you know, that you're there for them, reminding them that, you know, we can get through this together is really, really important. The last thing we want to do is deny the reality or to make weird promises to our kids about things. Just focus on the things that you have control over and be that role model for healthy regulation. I think that's the number one thing I would say is that be the role model for healthy regulation.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like some parents also are trying to balance, you know, especially right now, news, things that are going on in the world. And then, you know, having that be when we were growing up, it was, you needed to turn on the news to access that. Now you have a phone and it's kind of coming at you all day long. And if it's not coming at you from different outlets, it's coming at you from friends or from people who are also, you know, trying to digest things and process things. And we talked about this, you and I, on the phone, but can you talk just a little bit about the importance of having boundaries with things like that, which is really challenging to do with wanting to be there for people, also wanting to understand what's going on and inform yourself and also show up for your children and be calm and be a source of strength for them, just trying to kind of balance all of that?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people want to be informed, you know, when there are crazy things happening in our world. But, you know, if you know anything about the news cycle, it's like every 8 minutes, it's repeated, repeated, repeated. Mm-hmm. You know, I think back, you know, back when COVID started and we were all in lockdown and I was sitting at home watching the television screen all day long and I was becoming physically ill from it. I mean, I literally, your brain was just programmed and stimulated and activated all day long. And I realized very quickly that is not a healthy way to live my life. And so, yes, for example, we want to stay informed, but you can check the news for 15 minutes, you know, at a certain time of the day, and you pretty much got what's going on for that day. Digest it, you know, manage it, etc. If you're going to expose yourself to things that are activating, it's going to affect your nervous system. It's going to affect your ability to co-regulate. Mm-hmm. So I think having really good limits, you know, is just super important for people. Mm-hmm. That's my one kind of the top strategy for, you know, in terms of paying attention to what's happening in the world, but also having some self-protection and self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also doing that with, you know, with other people and trying to help other people with their experience with trying to process things and understand things, and then also have to shift into, you know, parent mode and being present for your children and also trying to, depending on their ages, trying to help them process certain things or understand certain things. So I think all of this is just so helpful and so needed. And I could sit and talk to you for hours. So we're going to have to do this again because
I love it.
Especially with, you know, right now it's important to talk about certain things, but really all the time is important to talk about this subject matter of social, emotional intelligence and giving yourself, whether you have kids or not, just the idea of this message of permission to feel is so profound and I think so needed. So I'm so grateful to be able to talk to you today, and I'm going to link out your book and your app, because I think right now where people feel really overwhelmed, this idea of even once a day or twice a day or multiple times a day, just being able to check in on an app, we're on our phones anyway, and just checking with yourself and log your feelings is a simple but really incredible gift to be able to give yourself just that moment where you can check in with
yourself. By the way, the app people were asking, I saw it, is called How We Feel.
Yes.
And I just want to say up front that it's free and available on Android and iOS, and very excited that because of generous donations, we can make it available for free forever.
Incredible.
And you know, my book Permission to Feel is a good read, I think. But I just want to say, you know, what I've done, you know, over the last couple of years is ask people like, who are the people that gave you permission to feel? What are the characteristics of those people? And there are three that I'd like to leave people with. The first is non-judgmental. Like, we just try not to be the judge. You know, you can be a judge in the courtroom, but not a judge with your own and other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. The second is good listening. Nobody wants to be fixed. People want to be listened to. We're dying to be listened to right now. And then the third is one that you shared, which is empathy. You know, show that we care, show that concern. And so, you know, as we wrap, maybe your listeners, watchers can leave thinking, well, what can I do today to be a little less judgmental, a little better listener, and show a little bit more empathy?
I love that. What a beautiful message to carry out into the day. And just, I mean, every day, I think it's such a, those qualities and those tips to leave people thinking is so amazing. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Great to see you. And I apologize for my little child.
No, it's actually
I'll go find her now and I'll co-regulate with her.
Yeah, and tell her that you can thank her actually for helping you to show the world that you can actually apply the skills of emotional intelligence.
I will thank her. I will thank my husband who's watching her. I'll thank it all. So thank you so much.
Be well.
Okay, bye.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.